Ventnor City Planning Board meeting, August 9th, 2023.
You have a single sign. Yeah, exactly.
I'd like to welcome everyone this evening to the Ventnor City Planning Board for the August 9th, 2023 meeting. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice of this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current, and a copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, we will rise and salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, justice for all. Will our board administrator please call the roll?
Jay Cook.
Present.
Roman Zabby Hutch.
Here.
Lorraine Salata.
Here.
Mike Leeson.
Here.
Peter Taco.
Here.
Tim Coop.
Here.
Jessica Stilley.
Here.
Absent are Mayor Landgraf, Commissioner Kriebel, Tom Halpin, Dan Smith III, Greer Gaskell, and Wendy.
We have seven members, correct?
Correct.
Okay. At this time, next on the agenda is adoption of the minutes of the last meeting, which would be the July 28th meeting. Are there any corrections or amendments to said minutes? Hearing none, may I have a motion and a second for adoption, please?
I'll make the motion. Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? One abstention. Okay, Mark. Opposed? Not opposed. So they are therefore adopted. Next on the agenda is adoption of resolutions. We have three this evening. They are P30 of 2023 at 120 Sacramento Avenue, P31 of 2023, 100 South Portland Avenue, and P32 of 2023, 6803 Atlantic Avenue. Are there any changes or amendments to said resolutions? Again, hearing none, may I have a motion and a second for adoption, please?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
I have one abstention. Those opposed? None. The ayes have it. Therefore, the resolutions are hereby adopted this evening. This evening, we have four cases. We see only one applicant here at the present time. And I take it, Mr. Kaufman, you are doing 405 North Derby Avenue?
That's correct. Okay. There's also another matter, 405 North Dorsey, which is an extension of a prior approval that's subject to your sunset provision.
Yeah, I spoke to Eric today, and...
Get you, Eric.
Yeah.
He's great, Eric. Let's get everybody sworn in.
Let's just get Mr. McLaren sworn in. Mr. McLaren, please raise your right hand. You swear from the testimony you'll give throughout this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Do you have anyone to be testifying and be sworn, sir?
Not
on this one.
Okay.
So they need an extension of time because our ordinance says variances expire at 6 months, which we are working on changing. So the applicant can't get a contractor, so he's asking for an extension. I think it's up to the board's purview if they want to extend it for past 6 months. So that's why.
That's the long and short of it. This application was granted earlier this year, and as it is, at the time of the year when the applicant went to book the contractors, everyone is booked through the summer. There's a six-month sunset provision in your ordinance, and so we're asking for the extension because the work it will not be completed until this fall at some point in time.
How long of an extension are you asking for, sir?
In his correspondence to the board administrator,
yes, for
Mr. Goldstein asked for a one-year extension.
If it were 6 months, it would expire September 8th or 9th, 2023. They're asking to go to the September 9th, 2024. Our zoning ordinance is section 102. nothing that I've seen in 102 talks about the expiration of variances. Buried in chapter 143, which was under some of our older provisions, which are still applicable, there is something, a provision in there that says 6 months, which is very short. You can't get much done in 6 months. So we've talked about making it maybe 2 years with the preliminary discussions. I even actually drafted something up and kicked it around to a couple people. But for what it's worth, 6 months is short to get anything done.
Yeah, well, okay. And again, the address on this particular property is?
This is 405 North Derby.
405 North Derby.
Block 260, lot 3.
Okay.
Kevin Fish.
It was, the resolution was your resolution P-12-2023.
I think it's very reasonable to set a year. That makes sense.
I don't have any problem with it at all.
No. I know. And
I've seen it before. Well, it's maybe 20 years before you got here.
And what complicates things, not to belabor the point, but sometimes you get variances in connection with a site plan, which there's provisions that allow for site plan protection for 2 years or 3 years, depending on what it is. And it sort of conflicts with that. But I think we crafted something that, once adopted, assuming it gets adopted, will probably alleviate some of these things. I guess, Jay, we should probably make sure. I assume no one from the public's here.
We have to open it to the public.
Should ask. Yeah.
Roger, you have a report on this at all?
No.
Okay. So at this time, do you have any comments you wish to make before the board, before we open up to the public?
I think the board has all the information from us that it needs.
Okay, thank you. At this time, is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this particular application? Hearing none and seeing no request, the public portion is now closed. Board members, do you have any questions of the applicant or there are professionals?
Did you get a contractor yet?
Truthfully, I just jumped in from the bullpen on this one, and I can't answer that one way or the other. I don't know the answer.
What's the question, Mike?
Whether they have a contractor yet.
That's the problem. I can't get one.
Yeah. So what if a year from now they can't go?
They come back.
They'll come back.
Just get another.
Yes.
Okay. Ask for one, at least.
Yeah, ask for one. So.
Which time you may or may not. The same viewpoint.
It's not other than the question.
Mr. Kaufman, we're going to think positive.
Yeah.
That you're going to have a contractor and it's going to get built. So let's do that. Now, at this time, Leo, if you could frame a motion, please.
Sure.
For the board.
So yep.
I'll put before the board for a vote.
Sure. Someone just needs to make a motion with a second. Someone needs a second it that we grant a 1 year extension to September 9th, 2024, for the variances that we granted to Mr. Bish for 405 North Derby Avenue, as set forth in decision and resolution P12
2023. Second.
Oh, second.
All those, well, let's see, have a roll call vote. State your reasons, please.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote yes. I think it's a very appropriate request. I also think we're in the process of changing our ordinance so they make it fairer and more applicable. So this goes in sync with that. And I think that's it doesn't harm the city one bit, and it's a fair situation for the client. So I vote yes.
Roman Zabby Hutch?
I also vote yes. This is an application that we approve, and because of some legal issue, it's worthwhile to extend it and give them the opportunity to actually fill what they had desired.
Lorraine Salata?
I approve. I see no reason not to. We've already done the approvals with the whole application.
Mike Wiesen?
I also approve. I know how hard it is to get a contractor dealt with a painting violation in the middle of January. where nobody is paying for exterior work, and I understand how hard it is to get someone to do some brush. Hopefully, within a year, you'll get it.
Peter Taco?
I approve the extension. It's kind of ridiculous, 6 months old.
Tim Coop?
I approve as well. We already reviewed it.
Jessica Stilley?
I'm going to vote in favor as well. 6 months is a pretty short period to begin with, so definitely think it's also a good idea to revisit those ordinances.
Okay, you've been approved, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next application is that of Scott Malin at 507 North Suffolk Avenue, seeking a C variance for side yard setbacks. We'll do a preamble.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is William Kaufman. I am an attorney with the firm of Nemad, Davis, and Goldstein in Egg Harbor Township. I'm here this evening on behalf of the applicant, Scott Malin. By way of brief introduction, the property that is the subject of this application is located at 507 North Suffolk. It's shown on the tax map as Block 281, Lot 4. It's in the R2 zoning district. It's presently developed with a single-family, three-bedroom, one-and-a-half-bath, late 1970s single-family residence. Mr. Malin proposes to add a master bedroom and other second-floor additions to the home. There are two variances that we're seeking. One pertains to side yard, and the other pertains to the roof pitch. Mr. Malin is the only individual that I anticipate testifying on this matter, and I'd ask that he be sworn.
Kaufman, we have to get someone sworn in before you begin. Roger, do you want to give a preamble first before we're okay? And Roger McLaren will do a preamble with his report first, and then you'll continue with yours.
Thank you.
So we'll go with the swearing in first.
Okay. So, Mr. Malin, just state your name and address for the record.
Scott Lawrence Malin, 507 North Suffolk, Ventnor City.
Okay. And Mr. Malin, please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you. And our engineer and planner is going to do a little report, and then we'll turn it over back to you guys.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. The report is based on the application of Scott Malin, 507 North Suffolk Avenue, Block 281, Lot 4, seeking C variances, engineering and planning report, located in the R2 single-family zoning district. They are in a flood zone, which is elevation 8, meaning the minimum first floor elevation should be 12. This is a substantial benefit variance. The materials reviewed on bottom of page 1, continued on page 2. The project description is, as Mr. Kaufman alluded to or provided testimony to, is the applicant proposes to construct an addition to an existing two-story dwelling with existing non-conforming setbacks. The addition will create some other variances and is subject to the substantial improvement provisions in the city's flood damage prevention ordinance. Again, our purview, if they get approval here, in order to get building permits, they have to provide proof that the amount of improvement is less than 50% of the value of the structure itself. The structure has had several additions put on previously, and they do not factor into the substantial improvement based on the variant or the ordinance that we have in place today. So the zoning chart is on page 3, continue on page 4, and they've identified three variances. I confirm that one variance, meaning the parking, is not a variance. They do meet the parking requirements. So two variances exist as identified as follows. Side yard setback for the principal building on the right side, whereas 8 feet is the minimum side yard setback. 3.3 feet exist, and the proposed addition will be at 5.3 feet. That's an expansion of a non-conforming setback. The second variance is minimum roof pitch, whereas 5-on-12 is a minimum roof pitch. 4-on-12 exists for the one portion that they, for the addition, and 4-on-12 is proposed. I do want to point out that where the existing roof is not 4-on-12, they will comply on 5-on-12. So the testimony will provide that indicate the errors that are forward and false. No waivers have been requested. Some comments, I'll give you a cliff note version of the comments, is the there aren't any street trees, and the applicant has agreed to comply with the city's shrub ordinance, meaning that you need one shrub for every 2 feet of frontage. They could be anywhere on the property, and the two trees have to be in the governor strip. Other than that, I think that's, again, the big one's going to be the substantial improvement, but that's the next step after they get approval or denial here. So I will conclude my report with that.
Thank you, Roger. Mr. Kaufman, all yours.
Thank you. This is like an indicator, I want to ask the board to qualify the applicant also as an expert witness because he happens to be an architect. So, Mr. Malin, can you give us your profession?
General description.
General description.
So I've been an architect since 1984. I've basically worked on almost any kind of building project you could name.
Including residential structures.
Including some residential structures.
Opportunity during the course of your career to testify in front of various land use boards, zoning planning boards?
I have. I've testified at planning boards, all kinds of board meetings, school boards, boards of trustees, governmental entities.
And in your capacity as a licensed architect, is that correct?
That's right.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to ask that you be recognized as an expert in the field.
We don't qualify people as experts. We qualify them as a qualified witness. And first of all, sir, are you licensed in the state of New Jersey?
I am.
Are you a licensed planner?
I am, professional planner,
thank PP. You. So with that, we will certify you as a witness.
Thank you.
As a licensed witness. Thank you.
And Mr. Mail, can you describe the existing conditions at the subject property?
Yes, the house was built in 1978, was added on to in 2008. My wife and I purchased it as a second property in 2018. We would like to relocate permanently here, but we do have to correct a few things. One being a 1.5 bath house is difficult for just us even, and let alone family members who come to visit. We would like to also add a master bedroom, so we'll do a master bed and bath suite and an office since we both work at home.
Since you purchased the property, you have made some improvements to the property to bring it up to current standards. Is that correct?
We have made a number of improvements. The water service, electric panel, windows, a number of items. Obviously, all the finishes in the house have been partially addressed at this point. But with the expansion, we'll also be able to not only get more space for our needs, but fix some of the physical problems with the prior additions. The roof at the back that we're going to build over top of is only a 1-in-12 pitch, so that's a problem. The roof over the garage slopes toward the house. We don't think that's a great idea. So the new addition will fix all of those items, plus giving us the space. We will comply with all 5-in-12 pitches at that point, except one roof that will be extended.
And you've taken some of the drawings that let me back up a second. The drawings that were submitted in connection with your application, you prepared all of them, is that correct?
I did.
You've taken some of those drawings and you enlarged them and you have them here this evening, is that correct?
Yes.
And do we want to mark those by reference, Mr. Solicitor?
You don't, it's not necessary since they're part of your submission. We already,
yeah.
Everyone has a copy of them. We'll just right. Note that they're part of your submission.
Okay. So, take us through your exhibits that you have on the board and explain to the board more details of your application.
Now, these aren't specifically in the submission. We can call them A1 or whatever. Just identify them. If they're not in the submission.
Okay, this one is in the submission, but I enlarged some of the text so we could present it.
Okay.
Basically, it's your cover sheet with the 11x17 sheets. Covers the coverage of the house as 35.4% under the 40% allowance. And the concrete paving added together, we're at 48.9%. And the allowance is 65% in the district. So we're well under the coverage. By putting the addition on the second floor, we've maintained as much open space as possible on the ground level. That's correct. No change. It's everything is raised to the second level. The setbacks that we talked about, 5.3 feet is what we're proposing. That's 2 feet better than the current condition. There's a 3.3 foot separation at the first floor level at the garage. So we're going to improve that by 2 feet. And that also allows us to have windows on that facade.
This measure,
right. So, yeah, you know, I did my best with the plans to be really gentle to the neighborhood. My addition is essentially in the middle of the site, with the exception of, you know, some expansion toward the garage, primarily to fix the roof slopes there. So there's a couple of benefits as a result. And then the one roof is 4 and 12 pitch existing. We're going to extend that. And then all of the other roof areas will be at 5 and 12 pitch. Right. So let me flip this. This is page 2 in your 11 by 17s, but this shows the expansion in the sort of hatch, crosshatch here area. This is the expansion of the second floor. Sorry, I don't know if I'm doing that. This is the existing second floor placed over the site plan, and this is the expansion here. We are going to cantilever 2 feet out right at the back here, but otherwise we're all within the first floor plan footprint. You can see the 3.3 and the 5.3 here on the right. All of the other areas are either existing or better than required by the code. Any questions on that?
Yeah, real quick. So that I did have a question about that overhang. That changes the building coverage a little bit, but you're still under what's allowed, correct?
Okay, I didn't know how you would count that, but it's no more than a 2 foot cantilever, and part of the building already extends past that anyway. So I'm not exceeding the problem. Even this setback here at the garage meets the ordinance, so we're still well
within. But the setback, I'm not worried about the setback. Your building coverage is greater with the addition than it was before, because
oh, you count that as coverage.
If I'm looking down, yeah, that's coverage.
Okay. Well, I'm adding 2 feet by about 20 there, then. If we want to add that in, I didn't count that.
Yeah.
I don't think that would change our
I didn't compliance. Think so. That's why I didn't mention it, but I wanted to have testimony.
Okay. So, very quickly, this is just the existing first and second floor plan. You can see that roof slope that I was talking about toward the house, and you can see the relationship of the two floors. This shows the approximate size of the addition relative to the entire footprint. It's about 28% of the existing floor plans. This plan shows the existing front roof slope at the 4 and 12 pitch. We're going to extend that upward to a new ridge line here, and then go down 5 and 12 toward the back. And the new piece over the garage area will be 5 and 12 in all cases. There's an existing slope at the front 4 and 12 that we're not touching. This is a front elevation view, so you can see it doesn't have a huge impact on the street side. This would be the new piece over the garage. Where I leave this, you'll notice we're increasing the height of the building by roughly 3 feet, 5 inches.
What is the finished height of the building? What would the height be?
The current height is 22 feet to the highest ridge line.
Right.
And we'll be at 25.5 roughly.
Well under the height.
Yeah. And then this is an oblique view from the street side to show you the whole addition. Essentially, you don't see the back, but this gives you a good sense of the impact on the street side. I think it will really be no problem for neighbors. Many of the houses on the street have additions in one form or another.
Speaking of neighbors, existing with the addition of both the consistent is generally been developed.
Yes, I think it's entirely consistent. Many of the homes have additions. It's a split level design, and some have even gone to the next level above, so they, it becomes 2.5 story. This would stay within the 2-story design. There is no problem with parking in the area, and you said we meet compliance, which is fine, but we're a mile from the beach, so we don't fight beach traffic at all. Are there any questions on anything that you've seen here?
I had the opportunity to review the engineer's narrative report, is that correct?
That's right.
And you're amenable to complying with all the conditions of approval that the board engineer has set forth in his report, is that correct?
Yeah, I believe the main point that was brought to my attention was the 2 street trees and some landscaping. We were planning to do that kind of thing anyway. We're no problem doing that, but we won't know those plans until much later after we get this other work done, basically.
Right. And if you damage any curb and sidewalk, you'll replace it at your expense.
Absolutely.
Curbing and sidewalk will be replaced at our expense in conformance with the city code.
One thing to note is in the engineer's report, he mentioned the 50% rule of expansion or new work with FEMA. So that'd be up to you to qualify or not qualify with that, or does not take any action on that.
I understand. I'm fully aware of the regulations. Okay. That's why I mentioned the 28%.
Make sure you understood that.
I do. I don't think we'll be anywhere near that number.
Well, the board's not taking any action on that.
Understood.
So that's it.
I have no other witnesses. To the extent that any board members have any questions of the applicant, we stand ready to answer them as best as we can. I would just ask for the opportunity after the public portion of the hearing to make a closing comment or two.
Now, before we do that, have you read the engineer's report and are congruent with that report?
Yes.
Okay. So at this time, I'm going to open up to the public.
I just have a question.
Okay, please.
I think you were addressing it, but I was reading something, so I missed it.
Sure.
But I wanted to ask you about the landscaping. The pictures don't really indicate a lot. I think you were starting to say something about, are you submitting a plan or?
Not yet. We'll do the planning for the landscaping later. Right now, we fight the droughts. Last year, we lost, you know, a lot of plants.
When you're ready to do it. We're not saying you have to do it.
Certainly. Yeah, we'll comply with the request for 2 street trees. We'll comply with additional landscaping as required, and we'll work that out with the city.
I suggest you work it out with our engineer and submit the plans to our engineer for Mr. Roger here and McLennan, and that way you can cooperate if there's any questions, and then he would be the final approving body on that for that.
So my suggestion would be, on your site plan, you have to submit 4 sets of compliance plans to show an area where you're going to put the landscaping, the shrubs, and the street trees on those 4 compliance plans.
You want to see that now? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. You don't have to plant them now, but you can do it. You know, we give you 2 years to do it anyway.
But just show it on the site plan for the compliance plans.
Okay, I don't know that I can do that right this minute. I would prefer to do the plan at a later date. I'm happy to work with your office and make sure everybody approves it. But I have a lot to do right now to get the plans ready, get the construction started. I'm happy to say I'll comply with whatever you request, reasonably request. No problem.
I think you need to submit it on your compliance plans. You don't have to specify all the species, but show where you're going to put the...
Just show a general design, is that what you're saying? I can do that.
Okay. That way, 2 years down the road, we have something to lean on, said you're going to do this. We don't have to follow it exactly, but the number and the... And the
okay, so there's some flexibility,
yes. Yes, there's...
No problem.
Okay. This time I'm going to open up to the public. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to comment on this application? At this time, there is no one that is presenting themselves or seeking anything, so the public portion is now closed. Mr. Kaufman, it's yours.
Thank you. So this application is fairly straightforward, and we're looking for two variances. One relative to the side yard setback at the second level, which would be 5.3 feet in lieu of the required 8 feet, and the other being relates to the pitch of the roof. These, I think in the engineer's report, he identified these as C2 variances, and I would concur with that. And the C2 variances can be granted so long as the application relates to a specific piece of property, which it does, and if it advances one or more of the purposes of the municipal land use law, and those purposes, as you all know, are set forth in Section 2. So the question becomes, does this application advance any of those purposes? And I would argue that it advances at least three of them. In Section 2E, one of the purposes of the MLUL is to promote an appropriate population density. This is a single-family house now. It's in a single-family residential zoning district. It's going to remain a single-family home, even with the variances. So it's an appropriate use and population density for its location. Secondly, I think this does promote a desirable visual environment. It's consistent with consistent with what is in the neighborhood. I think you can see on the plans that it will look better at the end of the day than it does now, and it does promote a desirable visual environment, and that is Section 2I. And lastly, and there was some dialogue on this particular issue, relates to building coverage and lot coverage. This house is well below both, and therefore your zoning ordinance is designed to preserve light, space, and air. And in this particular case, none of that is being severely impacted in any way, and this property will continue to be well below the permitted coverages with regard to building coverage and lot coverage, and therefore light, air, and open space is preserved as set forth in your coverage provisions of your ordinance. So I think there are at least three provisions of Section 2 which will be advanced by this particular application. And that would be satisfaction of the positive criteria. As to the negative criteria, we have to show that this the granting of the variances won't be a substantial detriment to the neighborhood, the zone plan, or the zoning ordinance. By definition, this house, as a single-family house, in a single-family zone, we don't think can possibly cause substantial detriment to the zone plan or zoning ordinance. And that's the key word that's in the statute, substantial. It will be consistent with what exists in the neighborhood, and therefore we don't think it would be a substantial detrimental impact to the neighborhood if the board were to seek clear to granting the requested variances. Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Kaufman, are you complete?
Yes.
Thank you. Board members, any final questions or of our people or the applicant? If not, we will move right to a resolution for adoption or a vote. And Mr. Meadows, you frame a resolution in the affirmative as always.
Sure. It's a C variance application. We need a motion and a second to grant two C variances, a side yard setback on the right side to the house or the principal building, 5.3 feet or 8 feet is the requirement. And then there's a roof pitch of 4-on-12 for one portion where 5-on-12 is required. The conditions I noted that the applicant shall replace any curb and sidewalk that is damaged during construction per code at their expense. I'll note that they're subject to that 50% rule, which is nothing that we get involved with. They'll submit the required number of compliance plans, and those compliance plans will generally show a landscape, include a landscaping plan, which will have, they agree, two street trees in the governor's strip, and just to provide the required number of shrubs. And then I'll note anything else in Mr. McLaren's report, unless otherwise addressed, subject to any outside approvals that may be required, if any, and the applicant will comply with any representations it made during the course of the hearing, which are just some of the standard provisions we put in all of them.
Okay.
Just to clarify, the building coverage, it has increased to 35.8%, which is still substantially below what's allowed.
Okay. Yeah, that's because of that overhang.
Correct.
We look at it as if you're looking down on it. So
may we have a motion for adoption and a second, please?
I'll make the motion.
Okay. We'll have a roll call vote. Please state your reasons.
Jay Cook.
I'm going to vote yes on this particular application. The variances that are requested are de minimis and are somewhat consistent with what's been granted in that particular neighborhood before. In addition to, it does conform to the master plan, and it is enhancing a structure, adding more value to the city's roles as well. And with that, it brings more utility as well to the neighborhood. And with that, I say yes.
Roman Zabi Hutch.
I also vote yes. As stated by the chairman, these are minor variances in the sense that there is an attempt to accommodate and make them even less than what is originally there, which is a very nice touch. I think that architecturally will improve will be an improvement for the neighborhood. I'm very happy about agreeing to the two trees. We really need to add more trees to our city. So I think that this application does advance the intent of our ordinance, and it does not create a detriment to the intent of both the ordinance, zoning ordinance, or the master.
Lorraine Salata.
I think it's a good plan. We have many houses, particularly in Ventnor Heights, of that same design. And we're seeing more and more people trying to expand the footprint a little bit and make them really more livable. It's kind of tough the way they are now. We're all pretty familiar with the layout of these houses. I think you've done a great job on the design, on the presentation, and I see no reason not to vote for it, so I approve it.
Mike Wiesen.
I agree with that. The comments the board members have made. The request you're asking for is so minor that I see no reason to deny it. I'm in favor.
Peter Tacco.
I also vote in favor of it. I believe that you satisfied the requirement of variance, and there's no detriment to the public by granting variance.
I also approve. I think the variance is reasonable. Project fits in with the need.
Jessica Spilly.
I'm going to vote in favor as well. I think all the variances here proposed are definitely reasonable. I think that this overall enhances the property and aesthetically improves it. And I like that additional roof line on that garage. I think that really enhances it as well. And I do appreciate that you guys went to look for that side yard setback you gave us that extra 2 feet instead of going all the way to the 5.3 or the 3.3, you went to the 5.3. And I think that makes a big difference in the statics of it altogether. So.
Right. Mr. Malin, congratulations.
Thank you.
You are now going to be an additional stakeholder in the city.
Definitely.
So, okay, welcome your second time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next applicant is that of Barbara Hamill, 5015 Winchester Avenue. Barbara, you're going to have to be sworn in. And is anybody else testifying with you?
I'm sorry?
Is anybody else testifying with you? Okay.
Okay, Ms. Hamill, just give us your name for the address and your name and address for the record.
Okay.
I'll swear you.
5 Kenyon Avenue, Margate.
Okay, Ms. Hamill, please raise your right hand. You swear from the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Please proceed.
Okay. I'm probably not going to be as technical as these guys were, but I'm going to tell you why I'm here. So I'm applying for...
Just tell us in your own words.
Okay. A C variance to keep the existing curb cut that was there before I raised my house. So when I raised the house, we added 2 garages underneath and I got curb cuts for them. There was already a curb cut to the left-hand side of the house that accesses 2 parking spaces. 2 off-street parking spaces. So if I remove that curb cut, then I'm going to lose 2 off-street parking spaces. And I do have an additional picture that shows that with my car in front, it's only like the space itself is only the length of 1 car. So you'll basically get 1 space, but you'll lose, we'll lose 2. So that's why I'm here. Just to ask to keep the existing curb cut.
So you had permits to elevate the house?
I did. I did all, everything was done properly through, I had the engineer was here and the, you know, all the drawings, and you have the drawings actually from the engineer for the lift in the paperwork that I submitted, showing all the showing where the new curb cuts were for the 2 existing, for the 2 garages. But the curb cut that I'm asking to keep has been there. There's a Google picture of the house prior to the lift. And you can see that that curb cut for that those 2 parking spaces were always there because that concrete patch has been there since I purchased the home in 1999. And so was the curb cut.
And where the concrete is now that you want to keep for parking, what was there before?
It was always parking. It's always been parking. There's always been a there's always been 2 car off-street parking there. There's always been a curb cut there.
Understand that. Right, right, right. The reason why we give you additional height but parking below so you don't have to have this parking.
Okay, but it's a, well, it, with it being a duplex and having the 4 bedrooms on each unit, it would be beneficial to have 4 off-street parking spaces instead of just the 2 under the house.
That's
and if
have.
if I lose the curb cut, I lose those 2 off-street parking spaces, but the street only gains 1 spot.
Right.
Ma'am, so, how many parking places do you have in the garage?
There's 1 in each garage.
1 in each garage.
Yes.
So actually this driveway and curb cut will make you fully compliant with off-street parking.
Would have 4 off-street parking spots altogether.
How many bedrooms are the, or is
the unit? 1 unit's 5 and the other unit's 4.
There are 4 bedrooms?
Altogether that it's a duplex and altogether there's 9 bedrooms.
Okay. What each unit has, 1 unit has how many, each unit has how many bedrooms?
1 unit has 4 bedrooms and the other unit has 5 bedrooms.
So they need 5 off-street parking spaces. So they're making it better. So the building you lifted, you didn't add bedrooms to it, correct?
No, no. I didn't do any renovation to the building at all, except
you just did a straight lift by right.
I did a straight lift. The only thing that was added was there was a revocable license given for the front deck, which you can see in the pictures, because otherwise it would mean no way to access the front door.
So it's in the right of way.
So, right. Mm-hmm.
So the other question I have is on your application, you mentioned a deck. What are you seeking?
Deck. Hold on. No, I don't think. Maybe I just wrote that it was in front of the deck.
There is permit to lift house and revamp decks.
And Oh, the permit, the original permit was to put, I was talking about that deck, like the, when you walk up the front stairs now, you walk, I call it a deck. I guess it's really just an access way.
So that's what.
That was, I just referenced my original permit. My original permit was to raise the house. And when we raised the house, we had to add that front deck.
Yeah.
But other than that, there was nothing else done inside the house. And everything that was done outside the house was just was made nicer. It was just redone, like, you know, everything needed to raise the house.
Right. So by virtue of the lift, which was by right, you're lifting 9 bedrooms up, mm-hmm. gaining 2 parking spaces underneath.
Right.
And you want to keep the 2 parking spaces that were always there.
Correct.
Technically, that's a.
Views here, but according to this, there's 6 bedrooms, right? And you're saying there's how many?
Well, when I bought, I mean, there's 4.
What do you have now?
Right now, there's 4 in one unit and 5 in the other unit. That's how it's always been since 1999 when I bought it.
Well, when we approved that, because I know it came before this board. When you did the lift and there was some relief for the driveways and all, if you had 9 bedrooms, you would have been short on parking.
Well, they said for the lift, because I wasn't doing any other renovations, I didn't have to do anything for parking because it was just a lift.
Did you come to this board?
I personally didn't, but I guess my architect or my engineer came because I don't know if he actually came, but they had to ask, they had to get the permission for the front walkway. That was the only thing that was ever done.
That was for the governing body.
Yeah, I didn't need any variances or anything to get the actual lift. Like, if I didn't have to put that walk.
Lift, you were staying with the same footprint.
Yes.
I seem to recall, unless I'm mixing up with another property, that you or a representative of yours did appear before this board for some kind of relief. I can't tell you what that is. It's been a number of years. But it's just striking me that if you had 9 bedrooms, we would have addressed the parking back then. And it looks to me like the concrete that's there now is all new.
Well, because including concrete, yes, but the pad was, if you see the existing Google picture, the pad was always there. But in order for them to do the lift, they destroyed all the concrete.
And redid the driveway.
When I re-poured the concrete, I re-poured the existing concrete, except on the other side. The lot itself is 100 feet.
Right.
So the total length of the driveway is going to be 50 feet, which is approximately half of my property. Which is less than percentage-wise most of the houses that if you go down the street. A lot of them have 100%. The newer house there has about 75%. So I'm not like, don't feel like I'm being greedy by taking up all of, you know, there's still 50 foot that's still street parking.
But let me understand, Lorraine, you done? I don't want to interrupt you. When you got your zoning permit, the condition of the zoning permit was you had to get rid of that curb cut?
No, there was no condition of it. It was, this kind of took me by surprise because when we were like kind of finishing up and getting to the end, it was said that I needed a variance to keep my existing curb cut. And I never had, I never heard mention of that prior. So I wasn't aware of that. I wasn't told that I had to do a trade-off.
In order to get your CO,
right.
This is what you have to do.
To get the variance. But I was never told that prior. I never was under the impression that it was going to be a trade-off. Like, if I get these curb cuts, I have to get rid of that curb cut. It was like this parking, these 2 parking spots were always here. And now that I have the garages, there's the curb cut to be able to enter the garages.
Well, very simply is that the property requires this number of parking places. And the way the property is configured, these curb cuts are necessary.
She does not have the lot depth to accommodate.
Exactly, because it's a waterfront property, and that is the case. There's no other way to comply. So what's there is it appears to be very appropriate and achieves what the intent of our ordinances are trying to do.
I'm sorry?
It achieves what our ordinances are trying to do.
To create more off-street parking.
Yes, that is one of the benefits of lifting homes is to create and create more parking and maintain the parking that we have.
Okay. That's what I'm doing. So that's what I'm.
Okay, so my question is, if she had come before the board with the plans to have 9 bedrooms, What would we tell her she needed to supply for parking? How many spaces?
But if she didn't need any variances to lift this house.
So how many bedrooms did you have before you lifted the house?
Nine bedrooms.
Nine. Okay. That answers the question.
Six. Which so, I'm not understanding where that, why, but
that's the city's reference.
Wouldn't that be what we base?
No, we base on the. You can lift a non-conforming structure to base flood plus whatever it is without any variances, even though you have non-conforming setbacks, non-conforming parking. What happened was, it should have been spelled out at the beginning when at the zoning level that you had to get rid of that curb cut and driveway. So you found out at the end that. But this never came to the board.
No resolutions.
Yes.
The only thing that ever was presented at all was to request for the revocable license.
Right.
That was the only thing that was ever needed. If I didn't need the revocable license, then it never would have had to have come in front of the board at all. It would have been straight commission. It would have been just.
Yes.
Right. It wouldn't have been in a board.
That was before city commission.
I don't know if I came, but I know there was paperwork that had to be done in the first. Yeah, the revocable license.
So
that was the only paperwork.
Very simply.
Go ahead, Roger.
In front of the board for something else, not the parking. We would probably request additional parking, would we not?
Yes.
I think we would.
Yes, my question is more property parts at six. So if we had done one of your grids, what would the required parking be based on property part or something else?
What exists? The plans.
What the plans exist. Yeah.
Sometimes these property cards aren't completely up to date.
Sometimes there are errors in the property cards.
Yeah, that's oftentimes.
Yes.
My experience.
I mean, the property card is not an absolute Bible. That's the first thing you have to understand. And that's the case. Now, there this property, so succinctly, is this property was lifted within its footprint and raised, and additional parking was placed underneath. That did not require that property to come before this board. It was a by right. That's what happened. So now the issue has come up about this, the second curb cut, which was done by the zoning officer, and that's why you're here. And that's why board action is needed and at this point. And obviously, the property needs the parking. We don't want to take the parking away from the building.
She needs a CO.
She needs a CO.
What happened was, when she submitted the application to lift the house, you need zoning approval and you need construction permits. At that point in time, a condition of the permit should have been you get rid of that curb cut in the driveway. But it was probably an oversight. So they lifted the house, got all the permits, and then when you do your final inspection, you see the two curb cuts and the driveway still there. It raised a red flag. So, well, you need a variance for the second curb cut and the second driveway.
No, in 2000 and let's see, if we're in 23, the lift started in 21. Yeah, the lift started in 21.
And so you don't have your CO yet, right?
No.
To get this variant to do the final sign.
Right. So has it been a 2-year process for you?
It'll be 2 years. In September, that they actually first came on the property and started working on the house.
Further back than that. So you're saying this is what popped up when they did inspections and Jimmy saw
it. Because we had oversight in their original granting the permits and so on for it. And that's what happened.
So is this a variant for curb cuts or parking?
Well, curb cuts.
But she's not here for that.
Just ignore
it. Yeah. They
can lift this house with or without the curb cut.
Yeah.
Right. That is it. Is everybody clear on this now?
Clear as mud.
That is the long and short of the whole thing. Housekeeping is what it is.
Right. She would get a CO if that curb cut and driveway weren't there. But she's here to preserve it. It benefits the city if it's there.
Absolutely. And to get rid of it. No benefit to get rid of it.
There's absolutely no benefit.
In the neighborhood, I drove down there. There's a number of houses that have no parking.
That's exactly right. That's why the parking.
The whole front of the expanse of that property has curb cuts and eliminates a lot of on-street parking. That's my concern. I don't know that it benefits the neighborhood.
Well, you'd rather have four cars on the street than have more frontage taken up than the curb cuts that occupy. Because if you put all four cars on the street, you would occupy more spaces than those curb cuts exist.
It eliminates a lot of people who have no opportunity to park that live there. So, you know, there's obviously a few different ways you can approach it. I'm not comfortable with the whole thing.
In my thought, it would almost be better to eliminate curb cuts in front of the garage, which will never be used, but that parking in the driveway will always be used.
Well, we that's a reach because the driveway the garages use me.
The garages have been used and will and do. I put my car in the garage.
Okay.
I don't have a permit to park, you know, a thing to park on the street, so I do put my car in the garage.
Not everybody.
And
not
my daughter and I are living there. We'll be putting our cars in the garage.
So
I went by there today. There were.
And I also don't have a problem with my neighbors. A guy across the street parks his truck in front of there if he needs a place to park. I mean, I'm not, you know, it's if there's no car in the garage, if somebody's car. I pulled up today to put my to water my flowers and everything, and I just pulled up right there. So
actually, what shows up here is that by lifting the house, it benefits the neighborhoods in general. So if everyone lifted their houses, it would eliminate most of the parking problem. And that's basically what's been occurring in the city with all the lifts we've had. We've created more parking places than used to, and the parking problem is now lessened. And it comes down to those who haven't lifted and those who have. And eventually all the houses will get lifted and the parking problem will be improved. And that's the goal where the city has to go. We don't walk backwards, we will go forward. And that's where we're going. So, are you complete, ma'am?
Yes.
Okay. And is there anyone in the public? I'm going to open up to the public now, if you'd like. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Hearing none or seeing none, the public portion is now closed. Do you have anything further you wish to add?
No.
Okay. Members of the board, do you have any questions of the applicant or the professionals? This time, Leo, if you create a motion, please, in the affirmative, is all or done.
Sure. So it's a C variance to allow the existing curb cut, I guess, on the left side of the property to remain. And
it exceeds the 18-foot allowable total curb cut width.
Right. The total, you're allowed 18 to two nines. Or 118. So she exceeds that. This and her variance is to preserve that curb cut on the left side of the property for additional on-site parking. So that's a motion. A second. That will just the standard condition will apply.
You've actually put two on-site parking places.
Yeah, that'll provide for two.
It should be two on-site parking places.
Two additional ones.
Yes.
Okay. We need a motion and a second.
We need a motion and a second, please.
I'll make the motion.
Second? I'll second. Have a roll call vote. Please state your reasons.
Jay Cook.
I'm going to vote yes. This is obviously a step forward to create parking. Neighborhood needs it. And without it, there'll be more cars on the street. More parking places would be removed, or less parking places would be available for other people. So I vote yes.
Roman Zabihach.
I also vote yes. These are existing curb cuts. The addition of off-site parking is always an improvement. City.
Lorraine Salata.
I'm going to abstain from a vote on this because it doesn't feel right to me, and I would like it to be delved into a little more. So I'm choosing to vote.
Mike Wiesen.
The Lyft created two additional parking spaces, and I'm in favor.
Peter Taka.
I agree that the Lyft created additional parking, and I am sort of.
Tim Coop.
I struggle with this because just a lot of parking, a lot of spaces that are dedicated to the home is sacrificed to us. But I think if you think about it in a different way, the fact that it's gotten this far, go back in time. So I'm saying, so I'll
vote. I'm sorry, did you vote no or yes?
Yes.
Jessica Stilley.
I'm going to vote in favor as well. The curb cuts are already there. The driveway was recently redone, and eliminating that curb cut will actually reduce the number of parking spots from 4 down to 3. So.
That's it. Motion carries. Ma'am, you're approved.
Thank you.
Okay. We're back to, okay, Mr. Kaufman, you're getting a workout tonight. Yes.
I gave myself in the tunnel then.
Okay. Wait a minute. 26. Bobby? Yeah, I didn't know you had to recuse yourself. I didn't know that, okay. Well, Mr. Kaufman, we have 6 member voting members. So we can do one of two things. We can either postpone it again, or we can have you want another member. They can listen to the recording and then give a vote if necessary.
I sort of anticipated that we might not have 7, so I did confer with Mr. Goldstein, and we're prepared to forge ahead this evening. And although I think I would prefer the second option to allow the other board member to listen to the tape and then take the vote.
If that would be as needed, if you vote in
yes.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Let the record reflect that Lorraine Salata is recusing herself on this application and removing herself from the board. Lorraine, thank you for that for the evening.
And this is technically, to the extent anyone didn't follow that conversation, this is technically what we call a D3 conditional use variance. It's not the high standard like a use variance. It's just that they don't meet one or two of the conditions, which puts it in a situation where you need 5 yes votes. So whether there's 5 members here, 6 members here, or 7 members here, it has to be 5 affirmative votes. So when we're short of a member, that was the dialogue where, now they're in a position where they need 5 of 6 as opposed to, 5 of 7. So, right. So as to the chairman's comment, if necessary, after our vote, we could ask one of the other members to listen to the tape, which is allowed, and then cast a vote at our next meeting, if that's necessary.
Okay. You're doing it for him once.
I already did, I think.
Let's get sworn in, if we could, please.
Sorry, I just want to alert the board. The applicant was delayed in North Jersey and is not here this evening, but we do have our architect, who I anticipate will be our only witness, Mr. Obalanis.
Good. Mr. Obalanis, just your name and address for the record, please.
John Obolenis, 102 South 8th Street, Vineland.
Okay, and Mr. Obolenis, please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I will.
Mr. Obolenis, are you a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey?
Yes, I am.
Are you a planner?
No, no.
You're not a licensed planner?
No.
Okay, thank you. Your credentials are accepted.
Thank you.
Appeared before this board many times.
So just by, I understand your engineer will deliver his report momentarily, but just by way of brief background and introduction, the subject property is located at 5115 Atlantic. It's shown on the tax map as Block 52, Lot 3. It's in the R7 zoning district. Presently, there's an existing residential triplex. So the proposal here is to demolish the triplex and construct a new flood-compliant duplex. We do have a certificate of nonconformity that has been submitted to the board. So as the solicitor alluded to, this raises some issues relative to the types of variances that we received because we are requesting a couple variances. A couple of them I would categorize as D3 variances, and then a couple are not, specific conditional use variances, but they still would be C variances. So there's a couple different levels of proof. And we can discuss that later on. And one of the cases that comes to play in this particular matter is a particular case that your solicitor is familiar with called Coventry Square, which deals with the burden of proof necessary in a D3 case.
Mr. McLaren is going to enter his report into the record. And you read his report, by the way?
We have read his report, and we have no objections to any of its substantive provisions.
Thank you. Roger, could you continue?
Sure. Please? Thank you, Board Chairman and Board Members. I believe I read the report into the record for the CNC and the prior application. However, I'll point out some of the highlights. So this is a D3 conditional use variance, and one of the conditions is a CNC, which they have obtained from this board last month. So that's one of the conditions being met. Page 2 is the items reviewed for this application. Project description, as Mr. Kaufman just described, you're taking a three-unit triplex and turning it into or reconstructing it as a two-unit duplex. Again, it's not being subdivided. It's just a street duplex, which is not a permitted use, but it's a conditional use. And some of the conditions are not still being met, such as front yard setback, rear yard setback, and that's pretty much it. So there are some C variances besides the use conditional use variances, such as front yard setback, that a building on Frankfurt Avenue, whereas a minimum setback is 10 feet and 6 feet is proposed. Again, that's probably attributed to the narrowness of the lot, and it being a corner lot, you're kind of subject to two front yards. So the third variance is a rear yard setback to the building, whereas the minimum rear yard setback is 10 feet and 8 feet is proposed. Again, in our ordinance, on a corner lot, you have two front yards, one side yard, one rear yard. So if there were two side yards, that condition would be met, but they don't. Curb cuts, whereas a maximum curb cut length is either 2 9-foot curb cuts or 1 18-foot, and two curb cuts being 18 feet wide are proposed. Distance of the fifth variance is a distance of curb cut to an intersecting street, whereas the minimum distance to an intersecting curb line is 25 feet and 21.5 feet is proposed. I believe at the last hearing, I made mention to the applicant and the architect that should try to be conforming, get away from the corner. Atlantic Avenue is a busy street. And the third floor deck, whereas the third floor deck is required to be located within the building envelope, and the proposed deck is not within the building envelope. Again, that's based on the definitions. And I think there was some testimony at the last hearing where the third floor deck is actually more appropriate where it's shown on the plan than pushing it back into the building. Waivers such as a landscape plan are being requested. I think a landscape plan should be part of the, if they get approval, a condition of approval to be submitted as part of the site plan. And again, the CNC was granted. And I'm not going to go through all my conditions of the application. I believe the testimony is paramount to the board making a decision on the D variance, which I think should be proven, and then the C variance. So I turn it over to the applicant.
Just indicate to the board.